ChatGPT might be Google's Ragnarok. Netflix and chill now limited to your home. My oh my for Google Fi. These stories and much more on today's episode of MSP Dispatch.
This episode is presented by MSP GeekCon 2023, a conference for MSPs by MSPs. Occurring May 21st through the 23rd, 2023 in Orlando, Florida, this two-day event is built around the journey of technical growth from Tier 1 to Tier 3. Visit mspgeekcon.com for more information.
Good morning and welcome to the February 3rd episode of MSP Dispatch, your source for news, community events, and commentary in the MSP channel. I'm Ray Orsini, joined as always by my co-host, Mr. Tony Francisco. How you doing, Tony?
In the yellow, eyes are on, eyebrows are on fleek. Doing good, brother, doing good. How are you doing today?
I can't complain. Having a good day, going through some technical challenges, but you know, that's the life of a technical person, right? So I'm a little excited to talk about this banter. Were you a fan of Seinfeld?
Yes.
Okay. So you know there's fanfic for like absolutely everything, right? Like I'm a Firefly fan and Star Wars, and there's always fan fiction. And apparently there's a thing called Nothing Forever, which is a computer-generated take on Seinfeld that has been streaming nonstop on Twitch. All right, they had these like really low res versions of Jerry and Elaine and Kramer and blah blah, you know, sitting on a couch talking, doing nothing, you know, which was the whole point of the Seinfeld episode, though, right?
It's just a show about nothing.
It's a show about nothing. So I don't know, man. Is this something you would like? I never understood the fan fiction side of like, I'm not going to sit down and watch it. Like, would you sit down and watch like the never ending Nothing Forever Twitch?
Okay, so let's get this out on the table. Elon Musk was a big part of this conversation. What is the probability of us being in a, you know, simulation, being Sims? So I just, you're processing this right now. Like, what if, you said low resolution. What if we're just a really high resolution of a show about nothing? And there's people right now that have been generating this. It's on, you know, it's only been going on, you know, a few cycles in their world, but in our, you know, hundreds, thousands of years. And there's people actually watching us right now. And they're like, oh my gosh, hey, MSP Dispatch. That's a good idea. I didn't even think about that. It's a show about nothing that came out with an awesome something.
So you're saying we're all AI generated. That's awesome. You know, well, you know what those people that should be, that are watching us should be doing? They should click like and subscribe. That's all I'm saying.
Make sure.
And while we're doing that, let's do some news.
Let's get into the news.
In my top story about business, Gmail creator says ChatGPT might destroy Google within 2 years, written by Jason Siegel for BGR.com. ChatGPT's popularity has brought many to wonder about the survival of search engines such as Google. Paul Bichette, the creator of Gmail, has also weighed in and believes Google is only a year or two away from total disruption. In his tweet on Wednesday, Bichette said that AI will eliminate the search engine results page, which is where Google makes most of its money. He added that even if they catch up with AI, they most likely cannot fully deploy it without destroying the most valuable part of its business. Google is largely built around the most successful product, the search engine. The company charges advertisers a fee for displaying their products and services right next to the search results, increasing the likelihood of the provider being found. Google's Q3 2022 revenue showed that the company made $39.5 billion from search ads. However, ChatGPT's introduction could quickly push Google into irrelevance because it can answer any question without displaying a page full of links and ads. If this were the case, users would prefer this more simplistic method to index pages. Tony, it feels like every time AI or machines are brought into a conversation, the very first response is, I'm going to lose my jobs. Now Gmail's creator is saying, Google's going to lose its job. And it almost, I'm sorry, not almost, in every case, it's turned out not to be the case. Should Google be worried here? Is this just another iteration of that? What's your take on this?
I feel like you did that in South Park's voice. They stole my job. They took our jobs. Do you remember in Seinfeld? Or in Seinfeld? Now I'm in Seinfeld mode.
Yeah, but in Seinfeld.
Yeah, and ironically, I thought you said that Jason Slagle is the one. Jason Slagle created Gmail.
I wouldn't put it past him, but he's the vendor smasher. Jason Siegel is the author of the article.
Jason Slagle is the soul snatcher, the vendor soul snatcher. That's what. I'm really concerned about the future of AI in general for a variety of reasons. The very first one is topically. Well, it's going to really hurt the search engines, but what is the betterment that's going to occur from this? And what is Google actually doing with all that money other than making two of the richest people in the world? The question is, how do you monetize this? Now, let's think about one layer underneath that. What happens to all of the marketing people that are putting banner ads and links in websites? Those are completely, they're destroyed. They're immediately disintegrating in value. So what happens there? And then what's the fallout from that alone? And we can go on and on and on, but we're really skipping over the point of what is the betterment of a more comprehensive answer without tons of links that you have to sort through. Now, the alternative to that in itself, what about all the peripheral information that we're losing by not doing that research and correlating data from multiple sites, creating a singular standalone point of truth from a new thing called ChatGPT? So anyway, just my thoughts. What are your thoughts on this, Ray?
Yeah, I mean, on one hand, I don't care. Yeah, I Google stuff. I don't look at the ads. Like the entirety of when I look at the ads is if I'm looking for something specifically, like from a vendor, and I'll go search, and you almost always the vendor's sponsored post is the top one. So what I'll do is I'll go down to their non-sponsored ad and click that. And not that they care. It's a little bit like when I do business with small businesses, I won't use my Amex. I'll use a different card because I know Amex charges a lot. I don't think most people using Google search care about that. But I don't know. If the ads disappear or stay there, who cares? I use Adblock or uBlock. I use one of the blockers. And I don't even notice.
Pi-hole is another good one. Yeah. I'm certain a huge chunk of our audience uses Pi-hole because you just install that on a Raspberry Pi and then have that in the gateway level, and you don't have any ads. You don't have anything.
But you know why I use those, though. It's not to block the ads on Google. Google is fast. When I search for Google search, Google results, it's very, very fast. So I don't care about the ads there. But when I go to a website and it's like Ling's Cars, right? Not that I go there often, but you get what I'm saying, where it's like ads all over the place, stuff is flashing. It's giving me like the mini clip games in Java, or in Flash. You get what I'm saying? Like, that's the reason I use the blockers, because it gets rid of all that crud and it speeds up the site. That's a benefit to me, going back to what you're saying, the benefit of doing that. Search results, I don't care. Just make it easier to get search results. Make Alexa less stupid. Like that I would pay for. You know what I mean? So I don't know. Let us know in the comments. Is this a thing, or do you care for your MSPs? But Tony, I'm going to watch something tonight on Netflix, but I don't have an account. Can I borrow your password?
Absolutely not. Netflix is creating some new rules straight from ZDNet.com. The network's password sharing is coming to an end. Home office, entertainment, Netflix, whatever you want to call it. They're stopping their passwords being shared, and here's what the new rules have to say. According to the new policy, you only be able to share your password with those who live in the same household as you, calling it the Netflix household. And if you're thinking, well, how would they know? Netflix is one step ahead of you. Netflix will use the information such as IP addresses, device IDs, and account activity from devices signed into the account to make sure it belongs to the same household. If a device outside of your household signs into an account or is constantly used, Netflix will notify the phone number and email associated with the primary account to verify the sign-on. If you're traveling, no worries. As long as you are within the primary account holder or you live with them, Netflix says you won't need to verify your device. However, If you're away for an extended period of time, you will then have to do this. The biggest losers when this new policy is enforced will be college students who are away at schools and can no longer use their parents' accounts. Ray, I hate to break this to you. You got to get your own Netflix account. I have such mixed emotions about this, and there's so many people online complaining. I mean, I don't know if you've ever heard of Reddit. In Reddit, there's a there's this place that people can in the tubes where they can actually put in opinions, and there's people freaking out about this. What are your thoughts?
Is Reddit like a Discord, like the MSP Media Network Discord that we have?
We do not have a Discord.
And have that conversation. Is that what you're talking about? No, seriously. Like, I'm the guy. Let me see. This is recorded, and I don't want to get myself in trouble. Hypothetically saying, I may or may not be that guy that has all the accounts, and I'm the uncle that certain accounts get borrowed from, right? Hypothetically, these are just for the sake of this argument, I'm not admitting to anything, but so I'm not the one that would be affected by this, except I'm also in the rare use case, not among our audience, but among most Netflix users. I have multiple internet providers at home. I do load balancing, and I do filter. Now, I do send certain traffic out of certain internet connections, but because of all the live streaming we do, because of I prefer my internet to always be up at home, so I pay the premium for a second provider. But my IP is going to change, right? Like, if they're at home, internet service providers go down. And so what happens when, my Comcast, for example, goes down, and now I'm going through Fusion or AT&T or whatever, is Netflix going to assume I'm somewhere else because I have a different IP address? Because none of the stuff that it's saying in here says you can enter your IP addresses and they're going to say these are okay. Much less the whole every one of your devices has to be logged in every 31 days. So if you have a device that's just for traveling, and again, I do. I have an iPad that's just for traveling, right? But I haven't traveled since November. I'm not traveling for another 2 weeks. That device would be deactivated for Netflix. This seems to be making it more difficult than it's worth.
I didn't think about that. At first, I didn't think there was a big deal. And now I'm literally thinking about like my laptop, where I won't travel for a month, 5 weeks. And then I go and I'm in my hotel room. I just want to watch Netflix. Oh, you're kidding me.
And you can't reset it easily. You have to call them to fix this.
Oh,
for that.
Okay. Yes. So maybe that's the answer. Maybe there's enough of me and you calling them and they're like, okay, we're tapping out. We're done. But I've got one word to solve this whole thing. I think Plex is pretty awesome. Maybe more than one word, but Plex, is that the answer, where people are starting to just start sharing Plex servers? And if you haven't been to Plex.tv, love it. I've got 130 terabytes of data storage. You can use Plex as a shared media content, of course, only for your private movies, not for anything that you don't own. Notice what I did there.
We don't condone piracy. Yeah.
No.
But so Hulu does this, right? Like, Hulu does a variation of this, not for if you have a streaming account, but if you pay for TV. So we got rid of TV last year. We were paying for Hulu TV instead of Comcast. And I honestly really love it. So for the live TV portion, it locks down to your IP address. You can change it X amount of times, but it'll ask you, it'll say, we see you're at a different IP address. Is this your new home? So it's cool there. X amount of times you can switch. But for all the other services on Hulu, like the recorded stuff or the old shows, you can watch that anytime, anywhere. It is far more flexible, and it's a better user experience.
I want to hear what other people are doing, because there's a lot we can talk about this. Hulu, Plex, a variety of other mechanisms. I also want to know what internet providers you use. Are you one of the freaks out there like Ray that has multiple internet providers? Are you using, you said not Comcast, what was it? Google Fi? Is that what it is?
Yeah, Yeah, I do have some news for that. Not great news. And my third top story, Google Fi data breach lets hackers carry out SIM swap attacks, written by Bill Tulis for Bleeping Computer. Google's mobile network provider Google Fi has confirmed a data breach at one of its primary network providers, with some customers warned that it allowed SIM swapping attacks. And while the company did not mention who the primary network provider is, many believe that it was referring to T-Mobile. The company notified Google Fi customers that data including phone numbers, SIM card serial numbers, account status, account activation date, and mobile service plan details were exposed. In the notice, Google said that it investigated and determined the unauthorized access occurred. The company added that it is working with its primary network provider to identify and implement measures to secure the data on that third-party system and notify everyone potentially impacted. Google clarified that the breach systems did not hold sensitive data such as names, emails, addresses, payment information, social security numbers, account passwords. Tony, I want to repeat this line. The company added it is working with its primary network provider to identify and implement measures to secure the data on the third-party system and notify everyone potentially impacted. Have we not heard these exact words from breaches?
Well, I'm just going to say, you've crossed your stories. You have crosstalk with your cell phone. You're hearing another. You're hearing last week's story, or was the week before that, or was it?
No, it was the week before that. It was.
Oh, that's what it was. I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry.
It's just nonstop. It's like I don't get it, and I get we all have our. We are all supposed to have our incident response plans with our communications plans and all that fun stuff. And I get there's a limit to what can be said. I will give Google credit. So we do use Google Fi for our family at home. And we have four phones on the account. I got like 9 notices. So, and it all said the same thing. So they did their job notifying, but are we going to call this a supply chain attack? Maybe. I don't know. I don't know if it counts for that or not.
Well, I mean, let's call it what it is. I mean, we're talking, it is simultaneously an IT hack. It is simultaneously a telco hack. It is simultaneously an amount of fraudulent activity combining the two points, all from going upstream in some capacity. Maybe I'm thinking the hackers are listening to our show. I'm just going to be honest with you. I mean, listen, sometimes you're covering telco. Sometimes you're covering like these providers.
This is your fault. You brought up the smishing and this is your fault. This is on behalf of the rest of the population of the world. I apologize for Tony Francisco encouraging hackers. Straight. No, I'm kidding. I'm kidding.
Let's get our story straight. It's my fault. I'm really concerned about this because, you know, SIM duplication is a major, major issue. And the question comes down to, well, what about eSIMs, the new iPhones, eSIM. We're getting rid of the SIM, you know, the identification chip that's tangible that is now going to be digital. So the real question is when, there's an eventuality here, when the database of that encryption key database is hacked, then it's, they have everyone's SIM. What's next? I don't know. I don't know how to address that, and I am terrified. Is there a singular point of a failure in with eSIMs, or do they have so many checks and balances that just can't occur in any reasonable fashion or timeline? I don't know. Give me your thoughts, right?
Yeah, I mean, my takeaway also here is they're saying the items taken, phone number, SIM card, serial numbers, account status, activation date, mobile plan details. And then they go on to say, but personal data, personally identifiable data was not taken, right? They're saying sensitive data was not taken. With that information, that's more than enough to do like social engineering. You know what I mean? I hate statements like this because, you know, in security, I understand you have to prioritize things, but the whole some data is more important than the other data, and it wasn't sensitive information, so it's okay. Not saying they're saying it's okay, but they're saying it's less serious than if your date of birth had been stolen. I don't know. Like, I want to hear from the MSPs. Let us know. You know the deal. click like, subscribe, go comment down below, and then go to our Discord and then go talk to us about it. But for now, Tony, you got some notables for me?
I do. Quite a few. First one, kicking off some articles about layoffs. And there are quite a few. We've got some articles from TechCrunch.com, CRN, and SiliconANGLE. And the summary is, well, late in January, Sophos, we all know and love, was set to lay off 450 employees globally, about 10% of its workforce. Yesterday, Okta announced a layoff of 5% of their staff, about 300 jobs. Electric car maker Rivian is laying off 6% of its workforce, citing a need to conserve cash ahead of a possible industry-wide price war. This is following significant layoffs from Microsoft, Amazon, and Goldman Sachs Group. And in my next notable mention, PAX 8 welcomes Rob Ray. From msptoday.com, after reaching the major milestone of over $1 billion US in annual recurring revenue in its November of last year, and as part of a series of leadership appointments this year, PAX 8 today announced the appointment of Rob Ray, a highly regarded and influential innovator in the IT market that has joined the company as the Corporate Vice President of Community. Already this year, PAX 8 announced the promotions of Carolyn Goles as the Chief Marketing Officer and Claus Dimmler as the Chief Science Officer. With the appointment of Rob Ray, PAX 8 seems ready to raise the roof of the channel as the company prepares for the first ever global channel event called Beyond 2023, coming into Denver, Colorado this June.
In my first notable mention, new DDoS is a service platform used in recent attacks in hospitals, written by Bill Tulis for Bleeping Computer. Pro-Russian hacktivists recently used a new DDoS as a service platform named Passion to attack the medical institutions in US and Europe. A DDoS attack is when a malicious actor sends a large number of requests and data to a server to overload it and prevent it from responding to legitimate requests. Radware researchers discovered Passion, and according to his researchers, the Passion botnet was leveraged during the attacks on January 27th. They targeted medical institutions in the US and several European countries. The DDoS as a service platforms are becoming increasingly popular among malicious actors due to the ease with which they can rent their available firepower to those who want to launch disruptive attacks on their targets. By using such a platform, attackers no longer need to expand the time and resources required to build their large botnets or coordinate volunteer action to launch a successful attack. In my second notable mention, GoodRx leaked sensitive health information to Facebook and Google, FTC alleges. Written by Mohana Ravanath for statnews.com. On Wednesday, the Federal Trade Commission accused GoodRx of sharing private information about its users' prescriptions and illnesses with big tech companies. In 2019, the company shared users' contact information with Facebook and then used the information to target them with ads for medications. According to the FCC, GoodRx also lets third parties tap users' health information for marketing and research purposes. Although GoodRx has agreed to pay a $1.5 million civil penalty for sharing users' health data with third parties, the company said in its blog post it did not agree with the allegations and admitted no wrongdoing. In our resource segment, ChatGPT subscription option is now available at $20 a month. They have a premium version for $20 a month, and according to the company, the subscription will provide easier access and faster response time, even during peak times. And subscribers will get priority access to new features and improvements. Link to the same is in the show notes below.
There are plenty of amazing upcoming events taking place across the community, so let's see what's happening this week. On February 8th and 9th, an in-person event, Cyber Insurance Bootcamp, presented by Barry McKinley in Chicago, Illinois. On February 9th and 10th, an in-person event, SMB Tech Fest Q1, Anaheim, California. And finally, on February 9th at 1 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, Understanding Endpoint Detection and Response, EDR, presented by Huntress. And coming from the MSP Media Network this week, we have... Today at 5 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, Kyle Jackson of ConnectWise joins Aaron Bolton for episode number 9 of 38 at 38. On February 8th, at 2 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, learn how to communicate cybersecurity programs that generate demand on a new partner-first webinar featuring Jimmy Hatzel of QuickPass and the MSP Dispatch every Tuesday and Friday at 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time.
Hey friends, Wes Spencer here. I wanted to invite you to a really amazing workshop, boot camp, you might even call it. Here's some of the things we're going to cover in this course. Some amazing things like why the cyber insurance market is just changing like crazy. We're going to talk about the things you've got to know as an MSP to be successful at this. Not just helping your clients through it, but building new revenue. So we're going to cover about how you can actually enhance this in your QBR processes, along with samples and examples. We're going to actually role play with you. This is February 8th and 9th. Our registrations are getting full. Register. We want to see you there. It's only $699 to join in. Can't wait to see you. Make sure you register as soon as possible. Thanks.
Hi, I'm Aaron, and I'm a jobaholic. We all have something in common. We all have a worst job story. Each episode, I'll welcome one guest to share their most insane worst job story. And in return, I'll share one of mine. Join me the first Friday of every month for new episodes of 38 at 38.
So how'd you like today's show? If you liked it, hit the thumbs up button. If you didn't, go and hit it three times. If you want to hear more, go and hit that subscribe button on the YouTubes or your favorite podcatcher. Did you know we also have a Discord where we post stories all week? You can propose your own stories and even vote on which ones we'll cover. Also, be sure to follow us on social media at MSP Media TV. Have any questions? Email news@mspmedia.tv for answers on the next episode or leave us a voicemail 833-MSP-Network. Tony, I would say I'm going to go home and Netflix and chill, but I don't know if my Netflix account's going to work.
And you don't want to use Google Fi just now because you're like, man, so much going on.
So what's left? What are we doing this weekend? Because I don't know what else to do.
Man, well, we got a whole bunch of events from the community section. So maybe there's something coming up. Go learn some stuff.
And so not I should get go hacked. Out and go meet people at these events is what you're saying.
I don't know if I'd go that far. You're actually other people and socializing, but.
All right. Well, if there's an event you guys are going to and you want us to go attend, let us know. But until then, everybody take care of yourselves and each other.
Be safe, everyone.
This has been a broadcast of the MSP Media Network.
What is that awesome green thing that you had up? The grid thing.
What?
That thing. What is that thing that I see? What is that thing?
That's my positioning grid that I like to use to help people center themselves on camera. So if we were to make you full screen right now, we can do that. And now you can see that you're dead center. Bullseye, man. Watch out. God, that's an outtake and a half. Okay, I'm going to disappear.
You know, some fans that are more technically inclined or have certain skill sets, they'll go and create audios and videos and scripts and all this fun stuff. Well, that was Phil. what happened there? Okay. One of these, so now there's, it just threw me off. Sorry.
No, it was awesome. I just love it. Hey, we actually have a real amazing production staff. There's actual people behind the scenes doing stuff. Okay. Sorry. The camera went. Okay. Go. Tell me about Seinfeld.
It's like whack-a-mole. It's like.
And everyone right now is like
playing Super Nintendo. All right,
I know. Everyone right now is watching this. Is like they have that many people actually putting. Yes, this is. That's why it's so good. Okay. Go. Yeah. Seinfeld fans.
Seinfeld. So fans. However, ChatGPT's introduction could quickly push Google into relevance because it can answer any question without displaying a page full of links and ads. If this were the case, users would prefer to.
The biggest losers when this new policy is enforced will be the college students who are away from school. I'll retake that.
So in our third top story, Google Fi data breach lets hackers carry out SIM swap. It's just one of those days. And while the company did not mention who let the dogs out,
And in my next notable mention from msptoday.com, PAX 8 welcomes Rob Ray, the one we all love. After research, there's your dolphins. Okay. I was doing so good.
Chat in our resource.